All right. Oh, do I get a clicker for my slide? How does that look like? Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Let's see whether this thing works. Okay. All right. Welcome for the session, building media workflow in the cloud with Windows Azure Media Services. My name is Mingfei, and I work in the product group as a program manager. So I work with developer test in my team to build features for Windows Azure Media Services. And that's my email and Twitter, the best way to reach out to me. And we have a lot of things to go through today. That firstly, I will talk a little bit about overview of media industry. And then we will discuss what is Windows Azure Media Services. And then I will go into a deeper discussion on the first service we shipped, Video On Demand Service. And I will demo Windows Azure Media Services Portal. I believe a lot of you guys haven't seen that yet. And I will talk about a new feature we just shipped called Dynamic Packaging. And I will be showing a bit of code demo in this session for how to use .NET SDK to upload, encode, and stream with of your video content with dynamic packaging feature. And then we will wrap up the session. All right. Talking about how online video progress, it actually falls into a very short timeline that shorter than you realize. That's the very first major online broadcast. Just happened slightly over a decade ago, and that's Victoria Fashion Show. The quality of the video is nowhere near what I'm showing here. It's something more look like this. Okay, and however, the event created a lot of hype, but we don't see a lot of online viewers at that time. 2004, both parties started to use video content to generate support for themselves. And we started to see a lot of video viewers online. 2007, the traditional Netflix business, we all know that they used to just deliver DVD rentals, right? And 2007, that's just 5 years ago, they started to bring long-form, high-quality content online. And 2008, Beijing Olympic, that's the very first large-scale live streaming event with many hours of live content and millions of viewers. And that's the time that the online streaming business started to challenge the old-fashioned way of the TV industry. We can do things the right way too. Same year, Hulu hits online. That's when people couldn't catch their favorite show on a weekday. They will be able to watch it on weekends. And that was where we started seeing the content gets really high quality as well. 2009, that's the year that whenever you bought a cable subscription, you will be able to watch it anywhere, anytime you want, not only limited on your TV set. 2012, last summer, that's the very first live streaming event in the cloud. And our team is really proud to be part of the group that enabled this happen as a live streaming in the cloud. And we delivered many hours of live streaming coverage with millions of viewers. And that was the time that when people could access high-quality premium content both online and on TV, they choose to watch it online. The reason being, online video streaming could brought in a lot more social engagement, which the TV set couldn't give to the viewer. And looking into the future, we do foresee this industry will grow into a much larger scale with high premium, high-quality content. However, for people like you or me that work in this space, we also know that there will be a lot of challenge coming on the way. If you wanted to deliver high-quality video for any device, anytime, anywhere, you have to deal with multiple formats or multiple bit rates for the video content. And no mention all these challenges on the way that you have to be able to correctly predict what's the peak of your service and to be able to provision the right amount of server behind. and monetization your content. You wouldn't want to lose the chance to earn money when your video is very popular online. People could watch them. And digital rights management. There are always people want to steal your content and put up somewhere else. And we, as Windows Azure Media Services, we are aware of the challenges, and we want to help you to solve all this problem. So what exactly is Windows Azure Media Services? Similar to other Windows services that we are built on top of Windows Azure platform, and we utilizing the compute and the storage power of the platform itself. Billing is through Windows Azure, storage is through Azure Blob, and a third-party service access is through Azure Store. Everything is brought down to one point. We are a platform service, enable you to access our service through REST API. If you look at the green boxes here are what we have released. So you will be able to build an end-to-end workflow starting from bringing your media in, transcode it into certain format, package to make it streamable and make it available for streaming, and also putting content protection if necessary. And if you look at the green color box are what coming soon, live streaming is coming this summer. Also advertising, analytics, and identity management are further on the roadmap. So that's pretty much what we are going to provide at the end. And we always encourage partners and customers to build on top of us using our REST API. One of the examples is Windows Azure Portal that they built on top of our REST API to provide very high-level functionality to the customer that by clicking a few buttons, they would be able to kick off an encoding job rather than writing all those code. And we also work with Azure CDN or partner CDN so that you can deliver content from the edge right away. And lastly, client library. We provide a spectrum of client library, enables you to rapidly build any media applications to play back adaptive streaming content on all this platform. I do have a separate session tomorrow for building client applications, so if you're interested, you can come to the session tomorrow as well. So that's like the picture of media services. There's one point very important that I want to mention. We are aware that this media space is really broad, and we can't be alone to provide service in this space, and that's why we brought in a lot of partners who are specialized in their own area. So I give you an example. If you look at the second icon, the encoding here, you will have the choice to use first-party Microsoft media processor to encode your video, but at the same time, we also onboard partners such as Digital Rapids or Dolby so that you can use their algorithm for encoding, transcoding as well. So what we provide as a platform is when you developer to build a service on top of us, you will have a unified API. No matter whether you use our service or third-party service, you will have a single API to build the service. And from a management perspective, that you will get a single billing with all the services included, no matter who you choose at the end. And what we do behind the scenes, we work with all those partners to make sure that they onboard their service on top of Windows Azure together with us. So let me show you a little bit demo on Windows Azure Media Services Portal. All right, that's how the portal looks like, that you will see a little icon here and with media services. And I have created some account here, and you will be able to create a new media services account here. And we are available right now in 6 regions worldwide, and we are adding more data center for to be available for you guys to use as well. And if I am going to use this HTML samples account, and click on content tab, that I would be able to upload a video. So I will choose a video which I have stored on my local disk, like for instance this wild MP4, and click on OK. And now the video is getting uploaded into Windows Azure. And if you, from the upload content, we also provide the option that you would be able to upload content from the cloud storage so that you can porting over an existing video content that you stored in the storage. And after the video gets ingested into Windows Azure, we could kick off an encoding job. And there are a lot of encoding presets here. Like we could choose to encode into playback on iOS and PC and Mac that produce a HLS content and a smooth streaming content. So as I mentioned that this is a service, the portal is built on top of REST API. Therefore, when you look at the encoding profile, it's pretty limited. Later when I show you guys how to use it, .NET SDK, I will point you guys to MSDN that basically have a lot more choices you would have. Windows Portal is just, they just onboard a few very popular presets for people to use. So while waiting for the job to get encoded and packaged, let's come back to the slide that I want to show you guys what is actually running behind the scene. So just now it's a typical video on demand service that you upload a video and you transcode it into certain formats. Because if you are just going to stream a 10 megabytes per second video onto your mobile phone, that's just not going to hold up. You have to transcode the video into the right format. And a package that, if necessary, like you want to deliver streaming service like HLS for Apple devices or smooth streaming for PC, Xbox type of platform, you have to package them. And putting up encryption and making it streamable and deliver it outside. So if I would break down the workflow, it would be something like this. The very first step, ingest content. So what happened just now is I have a file locally, and I ingest that into Windows Azure Media Services, and we are going to create an asset folder conceptually, and associate asset file with that asset folder, and we saw the we store the video into Azure Blob. However, we all know that video assets are usually big. In order to ingesting a large mezzanine asset is a non-trivial job, and that's where we have different options for you. Firstly, we pre-encrypt the file before uploading, so we make sure that the transmission is secured. And we provide secure HTTPS upload. All the data ingest into Azure are free. So I guess if you guys have played with Windows Azure, you should know that's similar to other services as well. And we also provide network level peering for faster HTTP into Azure. So if you are a big media house that you have many video data, you could choose network peering. Basically, it's a point-to-point connection. The speed could be as high as several gigabytes per second. Lastly, we also onboard a partner called Aspera. Have you guys heard of Aspera? Yeah, for very fast upload capability using UDP. And what happened to Aspera is you can just choose the service through Azure Store and install Aspera client, and then you can enable that happen. The second step is what happened that I choose the encoding presets. So what happened is we take the file from Azure Blob, and you can say, oh, I want the file to be encoded into certain formats. And then after we are done, we will put it back into Azure Blob for you as well. And if you have a lot encoding job, what would you expect? You may need to wait, right? Because that would result in a public queue that other people's job may queue in front of you. And if you don't want to wait, we do have option for you that you will be able to purchase something called encoding reserve unit. Basically, you own the box yourself, that only your job will be run in that reserve unit. And it is charged at $99 per month, prorated on daily basis. And if I have three encoding reserve units as showed here, I would be able to run three encoding jobs at the same time. And similarly for encoding, we have the first party Windows Azure Media Encoder. That's the supporting encoding codec, and that's the audio support. And we support package to smooth streaming, HLS, and Dash. If you are not familiar with Dash, Dash is basically for C, the future standard for adaptive streaming. Smooth streaming is a preparatory solution coming from Microsoft, which traditionally being streamed through IIS media server. And HLS stands for HTTP live streaming. It's a preparatory implementation from Apple, which is the primary streaming protocol on all iOS devices. And lastly, we support encryption with PlayReady, Common Encryption, and AES. So if you're familiar with the protocol, you know that usually smooth streaming goes with full DRM PlayReady support, and AES goes with HLS. And lastly, not only being able to choose Microsoft encoding service, you could choose third party as well, as I mentioned, such as Digital Rapids. So you can go to Windows Store to actually choose their service and use the same API to run that encoding service. Okay? And the very last step is deliver content. It's pretty simple that we stood up something called Origin Server to help you serve your streaming bits. And that's a similar model. If you don't buy reserved the Origin Server, you still go to share a few machines in the data center with other customers. It just, if the customer happened to be coming from Korea, you know, the video may go viral that it may affect your service. So, but however, you can purchase reserved the streaming server, which gives you guaranteed bandwidth starting from 200 megabytes per second. And that's how the whole workflow looks like. And we understand media business needs high availability, high durability, and we will handle all those complexity for you. And you just, you know, focus on building the exact workflow that's suitable for your media solution. Okay, and yeah, that's a philosophy I want to share with you guys. If you're good at something, never do it for free. We are in the business, and that's why we charge for the service. After we got, after we hit GA, we still have the free trial for 3 months that you will be able to enjoy 100 gigabytes of encoding service for free. And for shared encoding service, as I mentioned, you might be expecting to wait. You are charged at 1.99 per gigabyte times the input video file size plus the output video file size. And for reserved units, you are paying for 99 per month per RU on prorated daily basis, but you got to own the box yourself that you can keep running encoding job inside this machine. And for streaming service, similarly that you get a free stuff when you sign up for a 3 months free trial. And we charge for standard egress rate, which are the bits coming out from your data center. And if you purchase reserved origin server, as I mentioned just now, you get a guaranteed bandwidth starting from 200 megabytes per second. We guarantee you that's the bandwidth you're going to have. And you pay for $199 per month per reserved streaming server and on prorated daily basis. And if you look at the SLA, that was one thing I want to highlight. We are the only provider in the industry that has SLA for streaming server in the cloud. And we have 99.9 SLA for both shared encoding server as well as reserved encoding server as well. All right, and let's come back to the demo, which I think it should finish by now. So I will just publish the content. So what is running in the background is there will be an origin server that pick up my content and make it available for streaming to the video player. So while waiting, it probably takes a few seconds for the table to refresh and to tell the portal that, hey, right now the media file are ready for streaming. So we'll probably wait for 20 seconds. But while waiting, I want to show you guys the scale page. That was where you could request for on-demand streaming reserve unit or encoding reserve unit. You just shift the bar that you will start to get charged. Okay, and if I look at the job tab, that's something, an improvement we have made along the way, that once I was running encoding task, you would be able to see how the progress of the job was running. So you can see the encoding and packaging are finished now. And you will be able to grab the job ID from your running encoding service, so that if there is something wrong, you can query to see, oh, you know, whether my job gets stuck or something like that. And for the linked resources, that's a storage account, basically are the blob storage that all the video files are stored in. Okay, so now if we look at the content, I think it should be ready by now.
Oh my god, it's full on! Double rainbow all the way across the sky! Oh my god!
So you can see that the video is getting played. And this is a flash player that we recently shipped that could have the capability of playing back smooth streaming content. And if I would, I have a HLS content here, so I'm going to switch to the iPhone I have here. Oh, my iPhone is not, okay, cool. You know it's iPhone, you never know what would happen to it. Okay, so this is a application that one of the tests in my team that just produced for TechEd demo purpose. And you can see that we could log in with the service name and credential. So now I just log into this service. And I should be able to see the the MP4 we just played. And when I hit play,
oh my god!
So you can see that the same video gets played.
Double rainbow all the way across the sky.
Okay, and now let's stop this. The reason I was showing you guys the video was because, believe or not, it has like more than 37 million hits online. That you know, that was when you have what you do when your name is Hungry Bear and you live in Yosemite. That you know what you do in your free time. But it was really amazing that you can see how the skill that online streaming become, that you know, a normal user generated video could grab so much attention. And let's move on to the other part of the session, which I would give the credit to this guy. Pretty amazing. And there is a new feature that I want to talk about. That's really something new that the first time we are talking about it in the conference. We recently shipped this new feature called dynamic packaging. And it allows you to reuse your encoded content and bring it to various streaming formats without repackaging the content. So what do I mean by that? So we have to look a little bit at how the things are done traditionally. So if you have a video asset, pretty much you want to encode it into, for instance, multi-bit rate MP4. And if you want to deliver a streaming protocol, you have to package the content in either HLS or smooth streaming, because that's the two protocols that goes into majority of the devices, okay? And however, when you use dynamic packaging, you still need to go through the encoding part. That's something you have to do. And however, instead of producing this intermediate packaged asset, you just need to ask for us, hey, give me the protocol, give me the right streaming format, and we will be magically do something and look into the multi-bit rate MP4 and deliver HLS and smooth streaming file out for you. So in this case, it saves you time to package those intermediate assets, and most importantly, it saves you a lot of storage spaces. You don't have to store all those HLS content and smooth streaming content. And the input format right now, we support MP4 or smooth streaming, and the output format would be smooth streaming and HLS V4, and the dash support is on the roadmap. It's really something very important that it's going to save you a lot of money if you have many media sets. And the The important thing is you have to have at least one reserved streaming unit to enable dynamic packaging. I'm showing all the code on my blog. If you run the code later on and you are getting a 4 or 5 error, that's the reason that you don't have one reserved streaming unit. So do remember that. And now I'm going to show dynamic packaging through .NET SDK. And before that, I want to talk about what APIs and SDKs are available. Firstly, REST API are available for all the platforms. Just now, the iOS app you have seen, that's what my developer did on top of REST API. And we ship 2 libraries, which is .NET and Java. And we made .NET library open source just today. Like literally this morning, I made it public, the repository. So do check it out. And we are really looking forward to you guys' contribution to the GitHub. And let's do a code walkthrough before I open Visual Studio, because that's going to be a lot of code. So, and I published my code demo on the blog as well, so you can check out later. For the code demo, what we are going to do is we are going to upload a video from desktop, encode it, and package to serve it out using dynamic packaging. So probably you are going to build a little video application called demo.exe, and we have a video file seat on desktop. So what happened is this demo.exe utilizes Media Services SDK, and Media Services SDK will use Storage SDK. So the first step is get authorized. So basically, we use Media Services SDK to call access control and get a bearer token so that you can access the rest of the service. And then create a asset and the set files associated with that asset. And in this process, we'll be getting a shared asset signature upload URL. So if you have played with Storage SDK a little bit, you should be familiar with a shared asset signature that allows us to basically through that URL to upload the video file into storage. So the video file right now is getting into the blob storage. So after the file is in the system, what happens is we are going to create an encoding job. And in this encoding job, we define the asset to be encoded into multi-bit read MP4. And the encoder will kick off the job, and then the file will get encoded. Okay? So because the encoding will take some time, and that's why there is a scheduler there to slot your job in. If you are using you don't have a reserved encoding unit, you may be in a queue that with others encoding job as well. And lastly, once your encoding is done, you will be able to just create a locator. So what does a locator mean? Locator is used for our server to locate your media file. So for instance, there was one type of locator is called origin streaming locator. This is the end URL that you're going to put in your video player, and it is just going to play the content. And it is composed with a GUI here, and that was used to be able to allow us to look up your physical video file storage in the blob. So we know where those physical files are stored. And that's the file name and type. And there's one important thing is, by creating this locator, you could define a policy also to say, I only want the file to be available for 2 months. That's my contract with the studio, and you'll be able to do that with origin streaming locator. And lastly, SAS locator. That's another type of locator that's used for progressive download file. It's the same as the way you access any file in blob storage, that you will have the container name, and you have the file name, and as well as the shared asset signature. So that's basically define how long you want the file to be available and what's your credential, the token, to access to that blob storage. So remember, origin streaming locator are for streaming assets such as HLS or smooth streaming, and for SAS locator is for progressive download like MP4. And after getting the locator, what we are doing behind the scenes is to help you provision origin to get the media server ready for you to streaming the media set. And lastly, Origin server will just automatically serve out multi-bitrate MP4 and package all the files on the fly to HLS and smooth streaming so that the origin server sits here to answer whatever query that your client has. Client will say, give me 2 seconds smooth streaming data fragments, and the origin server will just serve the file right away. And of course, the origin server, you can always map that with a CDN, and you just get to deliver the bits on the edge. So now let's open Visual Studio and see how the code looks like. Okay, number two. Okay, good. So now let's fire up Visual Studio. We will create a little console application, okay? So very simple. Let's just say video rocks. Okay. And the first thing is always to import a reference. We currently support a NuGet package. You can just search NuGet package here. Search for Windows Azure Media Services. And we just click on install. And what is being installed here is a Media Services Client SDK, the storage SDK, as well as OData. That was what we used to wrap around the REST API service. And let's zoom in a little bit so you guys can see. Okay, cool. So I'm going to use some code snippet first, and I will explain. So this is the main skeleton of our project. So firstly, I wanted to get connection with my Windows Azure Media Services by plugging to the account ID and account key, which you could be found in your portal that under the dashboard, you will get a manager key, and that's where you copy your account name and account key. In that case, I am using a TechHead account here, and if I click here, that would be the account name and account key that I will be using. And one important thing is, remember I said you have to have one streaming reserve unit, and I have that for this account. And we will just quickly resolve the namespace. And after that, the second step is to create a set and upload a local file into my disk, okay? Into the Azure Blob storage. And after that, I will encode the file into multi-bitrate MP4. And lastly, I will be asking for streaming URL so that I can put in the player and the video gets played back. So let's take a look at how each method gets implemented. So firstly, let's create a method for upload. Okay, so I am having a video file called answer.mp4, so which I stored under C drive. And firstly, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create an input set, which, as I mentioned, you create a concept of a set and associate a set files with that particular asset. And you just need to upload your video file into the asset file. Okay, that's pretty simple. And we have a upload progress change method to track the progress of your uploading. And after uploading the file into Blob storage, the next step is to encode the file. So let's see how this is done. So I will plug in a encode method here. All right, so it is quite a number of lines of code, but the concept is pretty simple. So firstly, we will query the input set. So we need to have a file, some file that we need to transcode on. And here is where you can find the encoding presents. So I will need to encode into H.264 adaptive bitrate MP4 set. That's my choice. And you may wonder, where can I find more? And when you click on there's an MSDN link, you can see that's all the encoding profile that we presented. All right, so it's queried based on the string, so you just need to plug in all this string, and we are gradually adding a lot more profiles, so you can always keep querying using the presents that we updated on MSDN. And after that is done, we are initializing a job that we say, oh, this is my encoding job. That's just a name. And this is, we have to query a bunch of media processor to be used. And you can tell that here we are using the first party solution called Windows Azure Media Encoder. So imagine if you would use Digital Rapids, then that would be some third party provider's name. So now I'm saying I'm going to use this set of media processor and the Windows Azure Media Encoder, and the encoding presents is what I define here, this H.264 multi-bit rate. So you guys with me? Okay, so that's pretty simple, and we are defining the job right now. I want to do an encoding job, and give me that bunch of media processor, and I'm going to use one of them, and I don't want this task, the file, to be encrypted. So you have the choice that you can encrypt your storage file as well. All right, and lastly, we are just going to define what the input set would be, and give me that output set. So you will giving a output set name for that output set. And then we track the job status change, like how the encoding job is going. And lastly is to get the streaming URL so that you get the end URL you can use in your player to enable the streaming. So lastly is getting URL. Okay. As I mentioned that you could define policy, so you can see that I want my file to be available for a year time, and I would be able to create that type of access policy for my streaming asset. And then, remember I talked about there are two types of locator. The first one is streaming locator, that was for streaming files such as smooth streaming, and that ends with .ism. So I will say context, please create a locator for me, and then the service will create a streaming locator for me with the policy I specified, say 1 year. After 1 year, never make it available. And lastly, I will be creating a SAS locator. You can see that I'm creating a locator type is SAS for a progressive download file, which is MP4. And the service will give me another URL that I will be able to play back my progressive download file. So that's pretty much all we have did. That firstly, upload the file, encode the file into multi-bit rate MP4, and getting a streaming locator to stream the content. If you feel that's too fast, I know there are a lot of code, but I made it available through my blog, mingfeiwai.com. That you can just download the source code. It's pretty straightforward. And when I hit the start button, and let me just enlarge this console so you guys could see, change a better color. Okay. So I believe within a few seconds, the file will start gets uploaded. And you can see the progress is 100 now. So the file is already getting into the blob storage. And within a few seconds, it will start to get encoded. And so you can see that the encoding job just gets scheduled. And it gets processed. And what is running behind is the encoder that right now applying the algorithm and make it into some other format. And yeah, I believe after a few seconds, you will become finished. And I want you to pay attention that right after the file gets finished, they encode it, and you can get the streaming URL right away without waiting for packaging process. It should be pretty fast. And let me prepare for a player that I'm going to use for playback later. Have you guys seen this smooth streaming health monitor before? So this is hosted on smf.coplex.net/health-monitor. It's a tool that we build for the community so that you could diagnostic your smooth streaming URL to see that whether the URL, the content is correct or not. So this is a smooth streaming player embedded here. Yeah, I believe some of the audience used it before. All right, so right now, right after the encoding is done, you will be able to get a MP4 URL, which is the SAS URL I mentioned, and a smooth URL and a HLS URL. So if we would use the smooth URL, which I have write the URL into a file, which is the same as what showed in the console, I would be able to just grab this URL and paste into my smooth streaming health monitor page. It could be any player that supports smooth streaming, which is available on all the client. And I hit play. Oh, let me plug back my audio.
What does this mean? Oh.
So the service worked. That you can see that you can pretty much pull out all the streaming playback logs here and to be able to diagnostic if there's anything happened to the streaming URL. And similarly, if I would paste this URL for HLS into my iOS device, I would be able to playback the content right away on iOS devices as well. Okay? So I believe you guys will get access to all the slides, right? So you can grab all the content and you can just check out the blog for explaining what happened behind the scene. So of course, you could just go through the normal process of upload a file, encode, and package into different set and stream out. That's the usual process. And we have been talking about that a lot. You can try to search for past the presentation, you will be able to get how to do that. But dynamic packaging is something really new, and we think it just works like a charm that everyone should try to see how it benefits your business. All right, so what does all this mean? So as a quick summary, that we hope that you feel media services is pretty easy, flexible, powerful to use, and the client would be able to reach any devices anytime, anywhere that, you know, I showed you multiple devices playback on PC, on iOS. And we want you to understand that we are not the only one who is going to provide the service, but rather we look into the partner ecosystem. We understand that there are many people have their own expertise in this space that we should, you know, bring them in. And at one point that it shows they're confident for our business in the cloud as well, because they believe in us and they are people who are in the space for a very long time. And lastly, that I think we make the billing very easy to understanding, very easy to be understood. Once you have used the service, you could experience all those pretty good service. Okay, I think that's all for my session. And there's one thing personal I would share with you, that I was in one of the largest media events this year in Vegas called NAB. Any of you guys were there in NAB? It stands for National Association of Broadcasters. It is an event for almost 100,000 people in Vegas, the second largest event in the world. And there are so many broadcasters and media companies out there. And we are in one of the exhibition halls with a few IT companies, such as Amazon, Breitkopf, all the major players in the media industry from a cloud perspective. And we are so small in the industry that you realize this industry is still, you know, so deeply into those old-fashioned TV way that people can never move. However, when I see you guys here, I feel, you know, we are all pioneer that to try out the service, that we have never built such thing in history, and there's no other people have built such thing in history, that being able to do live streaming in the cloud for such a big event such as London Olympic. So we are really proud here, and we hope we could work with you guys to make the service better as well, because we are overall making people's life better. You know, we are the pioneer for trying all these things out. So yeah, so I said that's my personal feedback to you guys as a summary. So thank you very much. That's the end of my session. Yeah, thank you. And now I open the floor for questions. Okay, that's a very good question. So let me repeat the question so for the recorded session that people can listen to your question. So it's a very good question that if I use dynamic packaging rather than static packaging, will there be any performance problem because I have to do it on the fly? So if I would explain the process of manipulating your data set, if you are doing encoding, that's the most CPU intensive process that you need to be able to do a lot of manipulation on every single frame when you encode the data. So that's pretty much the processor of your machine matters a lot. You know, like if you have an 8-core versus a 4-core, that's probably a lot faster. However, for packaging, it's more of a manipulation of the container. Inside the container is the same video that you're using, which is H.264, no matter you're using smooth streaming or HLS or Dash. It's more of the way how you understand the media file. And that's done within 20 milliseconds, which is really fast. So it doesn't matter you are packaging on the fly or you do it beforehand. You will get very similar performance. However, you do save a lot on storage because you know that's pretty much the major cost that you will have for media delivery. Yeah, thank you for the question. And next one, yeah. That's a good question. So I would assume you have a website that delivers video to all the devices. Is that right? Or you are having native app on every single device? Okay, let me repeat the question. So I believe the question is if I would deliver video through a website rather than building a native app to different devices because people use iPad to open Safari to browse a video file, so how do I detect which URL I would surf out? Is that right? So if you are using progressive download, say MP4, that's pretty much widely supported by any browser right now. I think except Firefox, that they support WebM instead of MP4. And so in that sense that if you're using progressive download, you don't really need that much because Safari playback MP4, IE playback MP4, and Firefox is adding support. I think H.264 is certainly winning the war for standard. So every browser is moving towards that. So it definitely made your life a lot easier. But if you're doing HLS, that's the only streaming protocol that's supported by a browser, which is Safari on iOS, iPad, iPhone. That's the only adaptive streaming format that gets supported. HLS is never going to, I wouldn't say never, but it will likely to be work on Windows on IE, like through the browser. So in that case, you have to, I mean, you can just do a simple reroute or something, and then you surf out a smooth streaming URL. Yeah, that's pretty much the easiest way, yeah. It's just a little bit of code, I believe. Yeah. Thank you. And any more questions? No? That's good? Okay. So I will stay here for a while. So if you have any questions that are, you know, business confidential or something, you can come and ask me. And thank you so much for coming and enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.